We're going to go into John 14. We all know that this is Jesus' last night that he was sharing with his disciples. And he was getting ready to leave this room and go to the garden and pray, you know, in agony. And so in John chapter 13 and 14, he's in a room with his disciples. And it's interesting that in John 14, he's actually teaching his disciples that they're going to become the room that he lives his life in. So really the theme of John chapter 14 is Jesus' sacrifice is going to prepare the way that people can become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit so that God can live his life through us. That's the thesis of John 14. And then he leaves that room and goes into the garden. And then he starts talking about how we will be the room that he dwells in will also be the branches that he flows through. And so the whole genius of the teaching of the Upper Room Discourse is that Jesus is passing the baton off of what he was showing them is possible with a person, a human, that God could trust to flow through. He was going to pass the baton off to those followers of his that would soon follow him to the cross and receive him as their Lord and Savior. So I love John 13 through 17. It's my favorite scriptures in the Bible. So we're going to attempt to go through chapter 14 today. So just follow along with me. And here we go. It says, so do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. This is the precedent setting verse of the whole chapter. Because at the end of chapter 13, you know, Jesus is saying everybody will betray him. And Peter's saying, I never will. And Jesus says, will you really? I mean, it's like the disciples are in tension. They've just watched Judas leave in the night to betray. They've just watched Jesus wash everybody's feet. And they're all in tension, not understanding really what's going on. And Jesus starts chapter 14 by saying, don't let your minds be torn between two realities. When he says, don't let your hearts be troubled, the word for heart is your thought processes, your thoughts. Don't let your heart be torn. The word troubled is torn. It's actually the Greek word terasso, which means to tear in two. So Jesus is saying, Don't let your thoughts be torn between two opinions. And this is what it could look like. Don't let your thoughts be torn between what the Word of God says and what your boss says. Don't let your mind be torn between what the Word of God says and the doctor, what the Word of God says and the lawyer, what the Word of God says and the banker, what the Word of God says and whatever. Don't let the circumstances of life tear your mind apart. This is the battleground, right? We all agree the battleground is the mind. The heart's secure in Christ. The heart is covered by the blood. The heart is sealed in the Holy Spirit. So the battleground is allowing what's going on in the natural realm to tear our vision and our thoughts off of God's realm and have a divided heart. And that's when we become unstable. Okay? So then in verse 2, it says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you, because I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And he's talking here about in my Father's dwelling place, in my Father's space. And we know God is a spirit, okay? And God is wanting us to realize he wants us to become one of his rooms, one of his dwelling places. He has many dwelling places, but Jesus' desire is that all of us would become the dwelling place of God, not the visiting place of God, the abiding dwelling place of God. And so, and he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I am coming again and will take you myself, so that where I am, there you also will be. And I like verse 3, because a lot of people think that he had to go and it's taking him 2,000 years to prepare heaven, but that's not really what this verse is referring to. this verse is referring to, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to become sin. I'm going to shed my blood. I'm going to take the sin of the world to hell, and I'm going to resurrect, and I'm going to be seated at the right hand of the Father so that you can become the dwelling place that I'm preparing. He's actually going to the cross, not to prepare heaven. It wouldn't take him any time to prepare heaven. A lot of people think he's up there trying to polish the streets of gold, trying to get all the houses built, trying to get all the utilities put in. He's not up there working, trying to prepare heaven. He can speak it into existence in a moment. This preparation took place 3 days later when Jesus came back from the dead. And now it was possible for all of us to become the dwelling place where Jesus is. That's what he's talking about. He wants us to be the dwelling place. And so, and you know the way where I'm going. And then Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And if you would have known me, you'd have known the Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And then Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you for so long a time, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Fascinating, fascinating language. Jesus was the representative of the Father. He was the exegesis of the Father. He was the expression of the Father's heart. If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. And they never could get it. That's why their minds and their hearts were troubled, because they couldn't understand that the Spirit God was one with the flesh man. There's some noise going on. I don't know what's going on. I keep hearing a noise. Please, everybody, mute yourself.
Everyone's mute except for you, brother.
Okay, I just keep hearing a clicking sound. So he's saying, I am a man in the flesh, and I'm one with a God who's spirit. And he's going to go to the cross so that the God who's spirit can become one with all of us in the flesh. And that's the goal of the cross. He's paying the price for us to actually become the body of Christ. Now, is this beautiful or what? Now, they don't understand it, because you can't understand it until you actually receive the Spirit. You can't understand this from the head. And that's why he's saying temporarily, don't let your head rule you. Don't let your heart be troubled, because there's going to be a reality that's going to hit you very, very soon that's going to supersede and override your temporary problems with your natural mind, because you're going to receive the mind of Christ and you're going to be able to understand this on a spiritual level. But just as me and the Father are one, you're going to find out in a few hours, I'm going to pray that you'll become one with us just as we're one. And that's going to be paid for when I go to the cross and prepare you to become the dwelling place that I come back and live in, so that where I am, you can be also right now in real time, not after you die and go to heaven, after you die to self and let heaven move into you. That's what Jesus is teaching right now. Okay. And so I'll keep going. Then in verse 10, he says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father, as he remains in me, he does the works. Now, I love this. Jesus is saying, all the things that is happening in me, all the things that I'm saying, they're not coming from me. They're flowing through me. Now, this is key. This is key. I want to make a note here. In all the miracle stories of Jesus, whether healings, exorcisms, miracles, whatever was supernatural, He never said any of them came from him, but he always used the verbiage, they flowed through him. Jesus is saying, as the Father was able to flow supernaturally from the heavenly realm through my fleshly body into the earthly realm, it's going to be the same for you when you become my dwelling place, like I've become the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. Jesus is saying, I've showed you what it's like to be the dwelling place of the Spirit of God, because when you become the dwelling place, you can become the place where God's burden can be released through your obedient spirit, and what's in heaven can be released in the earth. And that was the word compassion that was usually listed before all of Jesus's, a lot of Jesus's miracles, a lot of his exorcisms, a lot of his raising the dead. It would have this little phrase, moved with compassion. And that phrase, moved with compassion, was this: Yahweh God had birth pains of things he wanted to release in the earth realm. And he found a man named Jesus Christ who was willing to work with Yahweh's birth pains and Jesus's obedient faith, taking authority to release the power of God in the earth, allowed what God wanted birth to flow through Jesus to be released in the earth. And Jesus is saying that right here to the disciples. It wasn't me doing any of these works. It was the Father doing them through me. It wasn't me even saying these things. It was the Father speaking through me. And Jesus is saying, when I go to the cross, I'm going to prepare you to be the dwelling place that I can live in, just as I'm the dwelling place that the Spirit of God is living in on the earth right now. I'm going to pass the baton on to you. Now, if this doesn't make you guys excited, I don't know if there's anything on the planet that can make anybody excited. We get to become the temple on legs that everywhere God wants to go, he goes in us. Everything God wants to do, he does through us. Everything God wants to say, he says through us. It's amazing. This is just amazing to me. And that's why he starts the whole teaching with, don't let your mind get in the way of what I can't wait to do through your spirit. Which takes us back to the battleground. The battleground is as a man thinks. We've got to think in line with what the word says we are, not in line with what our circumstances say we are. Amen? Can I keep going? He says in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Now, why would he say that? Because he just got done saying, I don't do the works. The Father does them through me. I don't say the words. The Father speaks them through me. Everything I'm doing, I'm just letting myself become a conduit. In other words, everything that I'm trying to teach you disciples, you're going to be the dwelling place. You're going to be the vine and the branch that I can flow through. Everything that I'm trying to teach you, I'm modeling it. And then he says this thing, if you don't believe what I'm saying, believe because of the works themselves. Why would he say that? What he's saying is, I couldn't do these miracles unless the Father was flowing through me. They didn't come from me. They came through me. You guys need to get this. I emptied myself of the glory. I became a man dependent on the sourcing of the Holy Spirit, just like you're going to have to depend on the Holy Spirit. So if you don't believe me because of what I'm teaching, look at these miracles that God is doing through me. If he wasn't working through me, I couldn't do these. That's what he's saying. Believe for the sake of the miracles. And then in verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And see, this is, reduces it from works. See, he's trying to transition his followers from the law to faith and grace. He says, if you want the Father to be able to do things supernaturally through you, you don't have to work harder. You need to believe in me. You need to let your heart not be troubled. Quit allowing your thoughts to be torn between two realities. Believe what I'm saying, so that what I'm doing, you can start doing and greater. Don't you guys love this chapter? I just love this chapter. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I'm going to the Father. That's amazing to me. At the intensive last week, I remember I had a word of knowledge that there was people in the room that from the shoulders up, they were experiencing terrible pain. And I got a vision. I've never had this vision before, this particular vision, that when King Saul was chosen to be king, it says he was head and shoulders above them. And he struggled with the spirit of jealousy his whole life. And the spirit of jealousy usually attacks a person in the shoulders, the upper back, the neck, the high back area, as an arrow in the back, because it's betrayal, it's jealousy. And the Lord showed me a picture that there was a spirit of jealousy afflicting a lot of people's physical bodies. And I said, if that's you, if you're hurting right now in your shoulder blades, your neck, your upper back, the back of your head, stand up. And so many people stood up. I don't even know how many. We didn't count how many. But we renounced the spirit of jealousy and commanded it to leave their backs. And I said, how many people just got healed of physical pain? And 30 people testified that the pain left their upper backs, shoulders, necks, and heads when the spirit of jealousy left. That's what Jesus was referring to. There's not an example of that in the Bible. That's a greater thing. And I didn't come up with that. He gave me the word. He gave me the vision. He told me to say what he was saying. He did that through me. Do you guys get this? I'm just the dwelling place. It's the God in us that does this stuff, if we'll let him be himself in us, right? Who wants to let God be himself in you? Like, he can flow through you. I had this word of knowledge that I was almost embarrassed. Like, I had a word of knowledge that somebody couldn't go number two, and I felt embarrassed to say it. Like, I was afraid to say it. But I thought, and then the Lord says, well, I thought you'd just be obedient. And so I said, well, there's somebody here that can't go number two. Well, you guys, it was a lady that the next session, the next morning, she came back shouting, and she was scheduled for surgery in her bowels. And she said she went home and she could go number two like crazy. She went back to the hotel. I mean, she was shouting. I've never seen anything like it. Well, that wasn't me. That was God's word and his power flowing through me. Do you get it? I would never say that. And then I got another word that the Lord showed me. Somebody had a boil or a cyst or something in a private area that was very painful, you know, oozing boil, like a cyst, a boil. And a man stood up and he goes, well, I got to go to the bathroom and check. And I went, what? Like, I didn't think anybody would respond to that word of knowledge in front of 200 people. I didn't think anybody would respond. And the guy comes back from the bathroom and he's just sitting there kind of with a smile on his face. And I thought, I wonder what's going on, you know, because stuff was happening. People were being healed. And I looked at him and he goes, can I testify? And I said, well, sure. And he goes, I've had an open boil on my tailbone for 15 years that's draining constantly in pain. And it started when I was abused as a child. And then I fell at work, and the combination of sexual abuse and a work injury, I've had an oozing, painful boil for 15 years. And I went to the bathroom just now to check, and it's gone. I didn't do that. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Jesus said he was going to go to the cross and pay the price, so that if we would follow him to the cross and die to ourselves, like he died to his self, that he would turn us into the place that his spirit lives. And then all I got to do is believe in him, and the same things he does, he'll do through me and greater. You guys, this is amazing. I thought somebody would be so excited about this. Like, I released all these so embarrassing to me words, you guys. And we had a precious couple drive 8 hours, a lady in a terrible shape, in a flat stretcher. Terrible, you guys. Like, she was in so much pain. She had a bad procedure done over a decade ago, and she's been bedfast ever since. And they drove 8 hours to come to this prayer conference. And she said she did get a couple of healings. She didn't get her paralysis where she could get off the bed, but she did say her sleep normalized, where she didn't have trouble breathing at night. And she did say her bowel movements got more regular. So she got a couple of healings, even though she didn't get her paralysis healing. So when we got done praying for her, the Holy Spirit said to me, you need to model to these people that when you don't see the breakthrough, that's not when you quit. That's when you keep believing. You have to get right back on the saddle. You can't wait till the next intensive. You can't wait till the next revival. You don't lay hands on people because they're sick. You lay hands on people because you believe. You need to model this and show them that even though they didn't see what they were all believing for, I'm still God who does miracles if you believe, okay? So the husband and a couple of our team members pushed her back, you know, rolled her back on her bed, back to the back where she'd been sitting the whole conference. And then the Lord came on me and gave me a word of knowledge for somebody who had lost a mother and God wanted to heal their heart. And this woman came up and just broke and got healed. And then God showed me there was a couple people there that had sciatic nerve pain in their hips. And a lady from Boise, Idaho came up. And then a lady from IHOP came up. And they both had real bad pain, one in their right hip and the other in their left hip. And I prayed a little short prayer of faith, and they both walked back to their chairs pain-free. Now, this is right after we all, as a whole group, hundreds of people, focused prayer on Karen, and she didn't rise up. Right after that, two people said all their sciatic pain left their hip. And so I'm here to tell you that we may not understand why we don't see things sometimes, but if we keep believing in him, the same things he did, we will do in greater, because he goes to the Father. Are you guys hearing me? You got to get right back on the saddle and keep going. We don't learn from what we see as victories. We learn from how we respond to what looks like defeat. That's how we learn. I'm going to keep going. And then he says, and whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, this is an interesting verse. The first time I picked this chapter apart was back when Rob McCorkle was getting his doctorate degree. And we would study script. We would study words for 3 hours a day in the original languages. And we almost picked apart the whole New Testament, studying the original meaning of all the words in the whole New Testament. And I remember this verse in particularly, because it says, whatever you ask. That word ask is a Greek word that a lot of times is translated whatever you demand or whatever you command. So it's not a pleading. It's actually, I have authority and I believe. And it's a verse that kind of goes in line with Isaiah 45:11, where that verse says, Isaiah says, God says, command me concerning the work of my hands. This verse is kind of like a parallel verse of Isaiah 45:11, where if we would believe in Jesus, we would have so much faith that we know what he wants to do according to him, because according to his word, that we would start commanding things to happen and he would do it so his Father could be glorified in the Son. How is that making the Father glorified in the Son? Because the Spirit of Christ lives in us. So if we're doing what the Son wants to do, the Father is glorified when the broader body of Christ is doing the same things that the original body of Christ did. That brings glory to the Father. Amen? Amen? So I'll keep going. I like verse 14. if you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. That's an audacious statement, isn't it? If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. That verse is self-explanatory. Anything that Jesus' blood purchased, you can have it if you ask it and don't doubt. You say, well, I've done it. It's not working. Keep asking. I have people text me every day. Dozens of people text me a day. Why isn't it working? Why can't I get my breakthrough? And I'm kind. Abraham didn't get his breakthrough for 25 years. Moses didn't get his breakthrough for 40 years. Joseph didn't get his breakthrough for 13 years. David didn't get his breakthrough for 18 years. The word can't lie. The word can't lie. No one who puts their trust in him will ever be put to shame. He cannot lie. So if you declare it, if you believe it, if you ask it, keep holding on to the word. Come on, there's no shelf life on the word. Heaven and earth will pass away. His word remains forever. Amen? Come on, you guys, that's the answer. You just got to keep standing. You got to keep believing. You can't say, well, I tried it 3 times. Try it until your last breath. It will come to pass. Okay? I'm going to keep going. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, I love that. I love verse 15, because his commandments up the first 14 verses of this chapter are, if you'll believe and follow me to the cross and let me do what I want, I'll move into you and you'll start replicating my life and ministry. If you love me, you'll let that become your reality. That's what he's saying here. If you'll stop thinking from your emotions, stop thinking from your flesh, stop thinking from your circumstances, and if you follow me all the way to the cross and let my sacrifice do its work in you, I will move into you. And the same things the Father did through me, I'll start doing through you if you believe and you keep declaring and you keep asking. If you love me, you'll let me do that to you. Well, I want to replicate Jesus. Who wants to replicate Jesus's life and ministry? I want to do this like today. I want to do it today. Amen. And so here I go. Verse 16, here's the key. Here's the only way here's the prayer that makes all this possible. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper so that he may be with you forever. In other words, none of this is possible unless the same spirit that was on me will come on you. You can't do it without the spirit that empowered me, because I didn't do it. It was him doing it through me. And I'm going to ask the Father to give you, followers, the exact same spirit that empowered me, that led me, that flowed through me. I'm asking the Father to give you the same spirit. That's the prayer that made the new covenant possible. That's the prayer that made Acts 2 happen. That's the prayer that's why we're on a Zoom today, because we have a helper. Aren't you glad we're not alone? Who's glad we have a helper? Aren't you glad Jesus prayed that prayer? Come on, man. That's the prayer that set up the second half of human history. Come on. We have the Spirit. We have the Helper because Jesus asked the Father to give him to us. Amen. Verse 17, the Helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it doesn't see him or know him, but you know him because he remains with you and will be in you. So he was with them because he was in Jesus. Come on. He was with them that night when Jesus was teaching them in that room, because he was in Jesus. But after Jesus goes to the cross, he can move into them. Aren't you glad that we can become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, where he lives? I made a post on Facebook the other day. It got quite a few people's responses that when we get to heaven, you know, we'll ask David, what was it like to kill Goliath? Or Moses, what was it like to part the Red Sea? And they'll look at us and say, what was it like to have God living inside of you? like sometimes I think we don't even realize what we have. God lives inside of us. Amen? God lives inside of us. Okay, the helper. Okay, verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I'm coming to you. Now, that's an interesting phrase in the middle of this unbelievable teaching. I've often thought that that's a misplaced verse, that he's saying that he's going to pay a price. So the same things that God was able to do through him, the man Christ Jesus, he's going to be able to do through all of us, the body of Christ Jesus, because we're going to become the dwelling place that the Holy Spirit lives in. And all we got to do is believe and obey so he can do through us the same things he did through himself. And in the middle of all that, he says, I don't leave you as orphans. And I always have thought that verse doesn't fit. But then the Holy Spirit reminded me that it fits perfectly. Because the orphan mentality that the demon brings to us makes us doubt anything that I just taught you is possible. Because it keeps us looking at our deficiencies and our shortcomings and our past mistakes and our upbringings and our current circumstances. It keeps our mind torn. The orphan spirit keeps our mind troubled to where we have a tendency to believe our circumstances more than the reality that God lives in us. And so maybe it's one of the most appropriate verses in the whole chapter, because we're not orphans. God didn't abandon us. He went to the cross so he could move into us and never leave us or forsake us if we would learn to live by the Spirit and not by the emotions. Amen? Can I get a handshake on that one? That's a good verse, you guys. And then let me go on to 19. After a little while, the world no longer is going to see me, but you're going to see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. See, the whole purpose is that I'm going to the cross so that I can move into you, brothers and sisters, and we can be one, just as me and the Father are one. That's the whole purpose. It wasn't to get us out of here. It was to get him in here. Come on. Verse 22. Judas said to him, Lord, what has happened that you're going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered, and this verse here is my favorite verse in the whole chapter. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me. Jesus is after love. He's not after performance. He's after love, okay? If anyone loves me, he'll follow my word. That's a given. If you really love him, you'll do what he says. If you love me, you'll obey what I say. And we, him and the Father and the Spirit, we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. That's my favorite verse. Maybe in the whole Bible, when I really think about the ramifications of what a verse means. This verse means, if we really love Jesus and we do what he says, the whole Godhead will come and make us his dwelling place. And we think we have bad days. Come on. Do you guys get the irony of this? Think about it. When we lose, you know, we lose a business, we lose a ministry, we lose a spouse, we lose a child, we have an ongoing sickness, we have an ongoing whatever, and we look at these temporary things, and if we ever really believed all of God lives in us, he lives in us. He can't ever leave us. For trillions and trillions and trillions of years, he will show us all that he did in real time that we never even knew. This is amazing to me. God lives in me. I'm his dwelling place. I'm his house. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're all houses fit for a king. That's who we are. The one who does not love me does not follow my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while remaining with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. See, there he is. He's ending with how he began this chapter. Don't let your minds be torn. Come on. I know you got child issues. I know you got some financial things. I know, but don't let your mind be torn apart. Don't. My reality's greater. I'm in you. I'm not leaving you. I'm just getting started. I'm going to finish what I started. I know what I'm doing. Keep believing. You heard that I said to you, I'm going away and I'm coming to you. And if you love me, you would have rejoiced. Now, this is interesting. Because they're afraid for him to leave, but they don't yet understand he has to leave so that he can move back into them permanently. If he doesn't leave and go to the cross, he can't move into them permanently. And so it's for their good. He has to leave so he can be in them forever. Because I'm going to the Father, and the Father is greater than I, and now I have told you before it happens so that when it happens, you may believe. And boy, did they believe after it happened. These were firewalkers after that encounter in John 20 and Acts 2, 50 days later. These were firewalkers, man. You couldn't talk them down. They just walked through hell. They did believe after they became the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you will believe. And I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in regard to me. That's an amazing verse. Jesus is sensing that the devil's spirit is getting ready to come in that room, and he doesn't want the devil to hear what he's saying. Now let's listen to this. Listen to this. Jesus just taught these disciples the greatest news you could ever teach anybody. You're going to become the place that I live in. That's why I'm going to the cross. Oh, the devil's coming. Shh. I don't want him to hear this. Now, he has nothing on me. I love that. He has nothing on me. There's nothing he can do to me. I've already died to myself. I've already won the battle. There's nothing he can do. But if he knows how bad his plot to take me out is going to backfire. This is why he's saying this. It goes along with 1 Corinthians 2:8, where it says, if the gods of this age would have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know. They did not know what it was going to cost them when this one seed of life went into the ground and died so that there could be unlimited life in every person who believes. They did not know. And Jesus is saying, they don't know what to do with me, one dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. What are they going to do with a billion dwelling places of the Holy Spirit? I'm not going to talk anymore about this. The God of this age is here. He's listening. He has nothing on me. I'm not afraid. I just don't want him to know how bad he's messing up. That's what this verse is saying. And then verse 31. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father has told me. Get up. Let's go from here. And they left the room and they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. I have good news. Every believer watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Zoom right now, every believer, you're the house of God. You're the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He wants to be big in you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad we have the choice of magnifying the Lord or magnifying our problems? I want God to be a big God in me. Don't you guys? Come on. I don't want to limit him with small thinking, small imagination, small dreams, small hopes. I actually want to focus on John 14:12. I want to believe in him so much that the same things he does, I can do in greater. I actually want to believe that. I want to believe today that when I touch someone, they're going to receive a miracle like nobody else has ever received. Or when someone receives a word, they're going to get set free more than everybody else has ever been set free. Why can't we believe that way and magnify the Lord instead of magnify our problems? Aren't you thankful His mercy's new every day? Aren't you glad today we get a brand new chance to try to replicate the life and ministry of Jesus by living from the Spirit out instead of allowing our minds to be torn? I don't want my mind to be torn. I have some temporary delays and distractions that don't compare to what I'm getting ready to walk into if I stay in the reality of the Spirit. Amen, church. Come on. Amen. It's a good day to be thankful. Amen. Not because of turkey and dressing. God lives in you. Aren't you glad God lives in you? So I just wanted to encourage everybody today. I know why God directed me back to John 14. It's one of the all-time great chapters in the Bible. And I just want to bless you guys. And so I want to pray a prayer of faith for people that need a miracle. I've seen more miracles lately. Like, I'm talking supernatural miracles. Supernatural miracles. Like, I'm talking about creative stuff. Like, supernatural miracles. And I know the anointing seems to be increasing. It's like it seems to be increasing. And so, okay, Father, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters that watch on social media, on Zoom. We really are a family that you brought together. And so I want to release my faith to join with their faith to practice where two on earth agree as touching anything. Because I know the math that the Bible says is different than human math. If one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight, then there's enough agreement on our little Tuesday gatherings to put the whole world to flight. We have enough power in the Spirit to put the whole world to flight. I actually believe that. Like, if greater is He who's in us than all that is in the world individually, if we multiply that by 500, we've already won if we really believe. And so, Lord, I just want to believe that every depression is severed from every person's mind. I want to believe that right now. You said in John 14:12, if anybody believes in you, well, you say you came to set captives free, to bind up broken hearts, to heal all pain. All comfort means all pain. And so, Lord, I declare, according to John 14:13, I declare all depression leave these precious people now, right now. All depression, all anxiety, all fear, be gone. Be gone. All mental issues where memories are leaving and things are affecting the cognitive ability, I command every demonic influence out of these people's minds now. In Jesus' name. Lord, I got testimonies last week of two people's eyes who were healed. So, Lord, I just want to release your word to touch eyes right now. Corneas, pupils, retinas, optic nerves. If there's cataracts, if there's degeneration, I just release your word into people's eyes right now. I command these eyes to see in Jesus' name. Lord, a week ago, I had a man whose hearing was restored instantly. And so, Lord, what you did for one, you'll do for all. So I release your word into people's ears that they would hear perfectly right now. I know that I'll receive testimonies from this prayer right now for people's ears. Ringing in the ears will stop. Ear hearing issues will improve. People will not have to use hearing aids after this prayer. I thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, I command all pain to leave these bodies. The one lady who said she was new, I command the pain out of her shoulders and her neck and her head never to come back. in Jesus' name. Every demonic spirit of jealousy that would be afflicting her, Lord, I sense that there was betrayal in her life and that she's really fought hard to keep her perspective on you. And there's been a lot of ups and downs, but now she's walking in real strength in the spirit. I can see that in her. I can see it in her spirit right now that she's not offended any longer, but those spirits keep lingering and trying to remind her and poke her. And so I command them never to come back again. By your stripes, she's healed. I thank you for the precious lady that she's going to be able to go number two now the rest of her life, and she's going to receive freedom and healing in her mama. So, Lord, I command the bowels to work, the intestines to work, the body to work the way you designed it to work in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I speak to pain in people's bodies. All pain. Lord, I love this verse in Isaiah 53:4. It says, you carried our pains. You carried our pains. You carried our pains. By your stripes, we were healed from all pain. That's physical pain. That's emotional pain. Pain. You carried our pain. So I declare in the name of Jesus, not in the name of us, in the name of Jesus, pain you have to leave. You have to leave these bodies. You have to leave these minds. Jesus paid the price for our freedom. So thank you, Father. I declare diabetes to die. I declare cancer to die. I declare arthritis to die. I declare hearts to be whole and healthy and beat in rhythm with perfect blood pressure and perfect cholesterol. I declare lungs to work, sinuses to work. In Jesus' name, Lord, I curse autoimmune diseases. I curse autoimmune diseases where thyroids are affected and all the functions of the body are affected, and these phantom pains come and hit people like waves and moods come like waves. I command all autoimmune diseases to be pushed out, to be purged out of these bodies right now by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is more powerful than any autoimmune disease. I curse autoimmune diseases. I don't know why I'm on this. This has got me, the Lord's got me on this. I use the word purge and cleanse, because the blood cleanses from all unrighteousness, and all autoimmune diseases are unrighteous. None of them are from God. And I command them to leave now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now give people on Facebook, YouTube, Zoom, childlike faith to receive your word. Give people childlike faith to receive your word. Give them, not Dan's word, your word, Jesus. Give people childlike faith to let your word take root in their spirit so that it can grow the harvest of salvation, which is healing and deliverance and freedom. Lord, we receive the word of God freely. Take root. We bless it. We water it. We fertilize it. We cultivate it. It will produce that which it's sent to produce. So I thank you that these are good listeners. They're not just critiquers of the word. These are doers of the word. And I thank you, Papa, that they're receiving the engrafted word of God, James 1:21, the implanted word of God deep in their soul so that it can grow salvation and affect every part of their life. I thank you for this group, this family, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, all of you say, I believe, I receive the word of God. It's for me, and it doesn't lie. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.